Hello, Mike.
Hello, John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
That was sloppy.
It was.
I think that's partly down to the excellent cloud water beverages I'm drinking.
Yeah.
We've all had a bit of a change of beer, actually.
We are.
For this episode. It's another new episode from King Street Studios.
It is.
We still have Emily with us.
Oh, yeah.
She's not my to escape.
Not just yet. I'm waiting for the rain to pass.
Yeah.
That's the thing. The weather cannot decide what it's doing. I mean, it's been.
It can.
It's
pissing down.
it's been hotter.
I'd say that's a firm decision.
Yeah. Right now, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was hotter than Pete Doherty's spoon for most of the week. But right now it is leathering down.
It is.
It's
that time of year where you just really don't know what to wear. And
everything's wrong.
Everything's wrong. Yeah.
I'm going back because I went to university in North Wales, and I'm going back into the habits of kind of dressing light and carrying layers in a bag.
Wearing.
I've got my brolly, I've got an overshirt there, I think I've got sunglasses and a hat in my bag as well.
That's the way to go.
Don't know what it's going to be.
Sun cream and an anorak.
Yeah, exactly.
Where in Wales did you go to university?
Bangor.
Did you have a lovely time?
Oh, fuck off, John. She's unimpressed. Unimpressed emoji coming in from
See, John, this is why I never let you have a microphone. It's banging it up even more.
Yeah, yeah.
Whenever we do gigs, it's a running joke that John doesn't get a microphone because he comes out with things like that.
Yeah.
You're a very sensible woman.
I am. I am. Virgo rising sign. That's why.
Absolutely.
I get a chance. I do get a chance to speak.
Once. I give him a pun a show.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. You got two.
I got two
on Wednesday.
On Bottlecraft, yeah. For Wordcraft.
Whereas this show is a fucking nightmare.
This is absolute minefield.
I'm just going to take selfies of my varying expressions and we'll put those as an extra little link.
See,
Emily reacts.
I remember when all this was mild world wordplay.
Yes. Yeah, face.
Face.
Anyway, yeah, I'm on the Cloudwater Brew Company CY18 Citra, which is. Nice.
It's really good.
We've all had a go. Dip at it because it's so very, very good. The two of you are on the same beverage.
We are.
Yeah, I can't say it. So.
Cosmic Unicorn by the Amundsen Brewery.
And
Zagovor.
I could have said the Cosmic Unicorn bit.
Yeah. I wasn't taking that away from you.
It is. The unicorn on the can is very cosmic as well.
It is.
I am loving. I mean, the thing on my can is, it's a big pile of hops.
Mm. It is.
No, so yeah, ours is definitely pretty. Funkier.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever watch Bravest Warriors? It was a cartoon by the same people as did Adventure Time. But it's a bit more grown up. Yeah, if you haven't watched it, you should find it. It's fantastic. But they have a series of episodes where they slip into another dimension.
Yes.
And one of the characters has a paralysed horse. It's Adventure Time. You go with it. In this parallel universe, he turns into like the most majestic horse ever, and he's got like beams for eyes, and he can dance around and stuff like that. That's exactly what that unicorn looks like.
See,
I
was going to say some
really good.
I was going to say it looks like something from a more psychedelic episode of BoJack, but that is equally
Love Child of the Two.
Yeah.
Yes.
Super.
Which then I suppose I have to ask: have you watched Tuca and Bertie?
No.
I think you really should.
Okay.
It's by some of the same creators and animators that did BoJack.
Yeah.
And it's. I was about to say, did you ever watch Rocco's Modern Life?
I have watched that.
I was worried because you're about 10 years younger than me. I was worried it might have been a bit kind of before your time.
No. I know that one.
But imagine that crossed with BoJack, and then you've kind of got a handle on where Tuca and Bertie
is. I'll give that a go.
Sadly, it was recently. That's what's cancelled, is not renewed for a second season, which people on Twitter are going fucking batshit about. But that the one season that they have gifted onto us
is
kind of marvellous.
Perfect. You kind of don't want them to do a second series in case they ruin it.
That is sometimes a worry, but I just the characters are so great.
I just want more.
But look what happened to Friends.
I still quite enjoy Friends.
Yeah.
I do.
There was, again, after the midpoint, it kind of started to dip.
It had a dip.
But then it picked back up for the last two seasons.
Yeah.
The problem with Friends, we are the problem with Friends, because you can't stop watching it. Everyone's like, Friends. That's because every time it's on, we watch it. Yeah. If we'd only watched it once in the last 10 years, we wouldn't be sick of Friends.
Yes.
You're not wrong.
No, I'm not. Yeah. Rarely am.
And on that note,
on that note,
you've got a new story for us.
I do have a new story. I've missed doing this. This is from 1st of September 2017. This is how long I've been holding on to this episode title.
Breaking news. Name your sex tape. Name the Knack album.
Out of control pensioners fined for hotel rampage. Staff and guests were forced to flee after two out of control pensioners rampaged through a Highland Perthshire hotel resort, a court heard. Robert Fergus, 72, ran naked with a pair of scissors.
Oh, you should not run with
scissors. You're not supposed to do that.
Don't run with scissors, especially not when you're all chapped out. No. I mean, tell you that.
Are you talking about Robert Fergus?
The old chapped out and he's running with scissors.
Robert Fergus, 72, ran naked with a pair of scissors in the public reception of the McDonald Loch Rannoch Hotel and smashed a glass pane.
Oh, Jesus.
His wife, Ruth, 69. Nice.
You're a bad person, John.
Threatened to shoot a staff member after, inverted commas, reacting badly to the alcohol she consumed earlier.
Wow.
That is quite a bad reaction to alcohol, isn't it? To threaten to kill a person. Mr. Fergus from Troon was also ordered to pay the hotel £800 compensation to cover the cost of the damage from the incident on the 4th of February. He admitted behaving in a threatening and abusive manner towards four staff members, willfully destroying property and drink driving. Mrs. Fergus
also naked with scissors.
Mrs. Fergus admitted causing fear or alarm at the hotel by threatening guests and staff with violence.
Wow.
The court heard how Mr. Fergus used the scissors to cut communications cables at the hotel reception and was eventually caught drunk at the wheel of his BMW. Now, you know when you know when you're reading a news piece and it has like a sub headline halfway through?
Yes.
No clothes on. Fiscal Deputy Michael Sweeney said a guest was woken by banging on his door at 1:45 a.m. and saw Mrs. Fergus, who became abusive, in the hallway.
Was she naked as well?
They haven't specified.
The public need to know.
Yeah, yeah.
They've not specified.
This is one of those stories that's amazing and gets better the more you imagine it. Imagine sitting your cup of tea in the reception of a hotel, seeing the old man run past, sniffing away communications. I imagine him just leaping through the glass.
Yes. It's probably more likely he ran at a,
like Father
what, he
Jack.
Thought, what he thought was outside, and just hit the boom.
Like Father Jack in Father Ted, when he just kind of escapes out of the window. Both were accused of acting as if they were out of control. He was observed to have a pair of scissors. Mrs. Fergus said, quote, "I'm going to get a gun and shoot you at staff member Miss Titcover."
Titcover.
They saw Mr. Fergus.
It's pronounced Titcover.
They saw Mr. Fergus pick up a sign and smash a glass pane in the door with it. And then we have another one of those mini headlines partway through.
Give it to us.
Inverted commas, reacted disproportionately. Mr. Fergus then ran through the foyer, telling witnesses he would slit and kill them. Solicitor Ewan Cameron for Mr. Fergus said he consumed much more alcohol than was sensible. He retired to bed but was roused by his wife, who said she had been on the receiving end of hostility from hotel staff. He reacted disproportionately by going to reception to confront them. fucking what's naked
in the nuddy.
So
I think it actually would have been more disturbing if he'd done that, but in a much more mild and mellow way. Just coming downstairs in the nud to the reception, going like, "I would like to complain in the strongest possible manner about
snip.
Sheriff Gillian Wade told Mr. Fergus, "I don't think I need to tell you it's a very sorry state of affairs. I have no doubt you will regret it for the rest of your life." Which, in fairness, isn't that long.
I'm guessing that wasn't a further quote.
No. That last bit was me.
That was your own editorial, wasn't it, John?
That's why I'm not allowed to write for the Sentinel.
Yeah. Although, really,
I'd fit right in, wouldn't I?
Saying nothing further. But yeah.
So
now, on, I believe, to the purpose of today's podcast.
Yes.
There we go.
Beautiful.
That one moment per episode where I make John snort his own beer. Yeah. So
I just looked at you at the point where you just went.
It was a very Harry Enfield and Chums.
For the benefit of listeners, that was a face slightly pouty with upper teeth on lip and raised eyebrows.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
And kind of expulsion of air through nose. But yeah,
I need a warning when you do that now.
The important matter of this podcast is, yes, we're back on our
bullshit.
Back on our bullshit. Just generally.
Yeah.
But we're back on the Rolling Stone top 100, top 500, whatever we call it.
Yes.
But we actually did try to find a more recent top whatever of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just seemed like people gave up once they got into the 2000s.
Yeah, it's like kind of 2012 was the last one that I properly found.
Mm.
And it is almost like people are expecting the world to end. Yeah, right. I think there was one other from NME.
Yeah.
It's about that. I wasn't going to read that. Yeah.
No.
So the Rolling Stone one from 2012 is kind of the one we're sticking with. So we had a little look through.
We did.
Yeah.
To find an album that none of us had listened to.
Mm-hmm.
And John, you decided you quite fancied a bit of Stevie Wonder, I believe.
I reckon I could take him in a fight.
Yes. Oh, God. John. You're a fundamentally bad person, John. I don't think people at home appreciate this. Bad, bad person.
Mm-hmm.
But Stevie Wonder. none of us, I feel, have actually listened to an entire Stevie Wonder album.
Never.
No.
Not properly.
Not properly. No.
Heard a lot, enjoyed it, never listened to an album.
It's like a best of. There was a best of that we'd have on the stereo at work when we were at Music Zone, John and I.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day. It's not that we're not familiar with the oeuvre for Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Oh, Inner Visions.
Yes.
It's right in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the top 100 of the top 500.
It is.
It's quite high up, I believe, as well. I can't remember where it was.
I can't remember where it was.
It's at a decent height, though.
We're not going to make me struggle again, I refuse.
Yeah. We'll struggle later, more after this the album. But yeah, it's quite high up. So we decided we're going to all hunker down together.
Yeah.
In the rain, we're going to pile into our listening tent in the car park.
Yeah.
And listen to Inner Visions.
Sorry, it's a yurt.
Yeah, it's a listening yurt.
Listening yurt.
The audio yurt.
Yeah.
And listen to Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder. And then report back with what exactly we felt about this quote-unquote classic album.
Oh, we will see you on the other side of this sting.
Indeed.
And I'm turning the mics on.
Good plan.
Yeah.
Yay.
Should have done that the other way around.
A little bit.
Hey.
Hey.
So this is the other side of us having listened to Inner Visions from Stevie Wonder.
While easting. Easting.
Easting.
Easting. Well, easting some pizzas.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easting.
To all our listeners.
I'd probably want them going to release the fucking podcast.
So, thoughts.
Thoughts. My thought is, of all of the of this type of episode we've done, going from the Rolling Stone top 1/500, this is the one I've enjoyed the most.
Yeah,
because I know we had a good time with Bob Dylan.
We did.
Less said about that, the better. But that time we listened to his
album, still hasn't given me back my shoes.
But I straight up loved this.
Mm.
Yeah, ditto.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Same.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we were boogie in a way.
Oh yeah, there's some legit dancing going on here.
Yeah, there was.
Some proper chair dancing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really good tone shifts throughout the whole thing. I mean, actually trying to think back to the start of the album there, I was like, God, there's actually so much that's happened between...
Yeah, we've been on a journey.
We have been on a journey, and you will too when you listen to this.
Yes. What I did find interesting was that a lot of the tracks that we were familiar with,
mm-hmm.
from like Best Ofs and whatnot,
yeah.
they seem to have been re-recorded at some point for kind of single slash
release.
Best Of releases.
Yeah.
Because the versions on this album were quite different in some cases.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, what was that early one that we clocked?
The Living for the City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
Very significant.
Later on in the track, where there's that whole kind of talk, spoken word bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he's kind of getting arrested.
Like a noise section,
mm-hmm.
sort of. Yeah.
And then this whole other voice taking
proper
over for
Tom
a fight.
Waits growl voice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
I loved that.
Yeah.
That was something else.
It was special.
And that is something I'd not heard. And
no.
Even though I was very familiar with at least two-thirds of that track.
Yeah, yeah.
Never heard that bit before. Absolutely brilliant.
And that's a really bold statement for an artist to be making.
Especially a black artist in the 70s.
In America.
Yes.
Yeah.
Super duper brave.
Yeah. Because we had a bit of a chat about, is it braver if you're relatively unknown or a inverted commas name?
Yeah.
And either way,
it's a scary thing to make a stand like that.
Yeah.
Because
it was overtly political.
Yeah.
Yes.
At that moment.
Yes.
Because if you're relatively unknown, then that's the sort of thing that could tank your career before it started.
Yep.
But if you're known, then that's the kind of thing that will make you a target.
Yes.
By a lot of very unsavoury people.
Yeah.
Yes.
So either way, it's quite brave.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
just a musical risk, it's a legit
yeah.
health and safety risk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's personal and lifelong chance
mm-hmm.
you're taking.
Yeah.
To do something like that. But he done did it.
Yes.
And that
he did
was,
it good.
He did it very good.
God damn good. And it was Billboard voted it the best album of that year. It's in the 16th Billboard Awards.
Mm.
Actually, I did a little bit of Wikipedia while we were listening to that. But his first hit was when he was 13 years old.
It's baffling.
In the Billboard Hot 100, he was in 1963, 13 years old.
Fingertips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Talking Book in 72 was already him, basically.
So how old was he then? 22?
Yes. Yeah.
That's absurd.
So he's 23 in the recording of Inner Visions.
Of this, yeah.
But yeah, apparently Talking Book was what most people think of as the start of his golden period.
Mm.
And this Inner Visions as being one of his finest works.
It's really,
and it's hard to disagree, really.
No,
it's
yeah,
disagree.
Quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
The arrangements are, they're not overdone.
No.
They're just really nicely, everything's just right, because started that sentence really well, and then... It's
you
just,
found the mix is really interesting, didn't you, saying
yeah.
things like double-tracking his own voice?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I don't know. I don't know a lot about these things. Was that common practice?
I don't know. I think it's something that I don't think it happens an awful lot, but it's just one of those odd little touches it just adds a really interesting quality to the vocal track. So the only other person I can think of off the top of my head that does it a lot is E from Eels.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so there's a lot of double track vocal there. It just adds a slightly odd effect to the voice.
A lot of hip hop artists double track.
Yeah.
And you're getting a lot of kind of artists with a lot of kind of words per minute. You know, they're
yeah.
really kind of spitting the flow. They'll double track it for the recording so that it flows a bit better.
Oh, nice.
So it can kind of switch from kind of one track to the next
mm-hmm.
and keep it battering along
mm-hmm.
without
yeah.
any kind of the overt sounds of breathing
yeah,
in.
Breathe.
The next
oh,
of
course. So it gives you a chance to take
it
there.
It's still deliberate live.
Yes.
But for the recording, they double track it.
Because every little bit of that is picked up so much.
Exactly
yeah.
that.
That
yes.
makes sense.
And it does kind of beef up the vocal a bit as well.
It does.
Yeah.
So
it gives it a kind of sort of like, I don't know, ethereal, like,
yeah.
vibe to it. It was nice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
It definitely gives it a boost of some kind. And the word moments, which track? There was one track in particular that you noted was double
track. It was Don't You Worry About a Thing.
Yeah.
Mm.
And there were moments when it went from that kind of double tracking of everything, basically just the same vocal, double tracked, to then suddenly harmonising.
With himself.
Yeah.
And that little transition, it was subtle and so effective.
Yeah. And then it just leads into this ridiculously brilliant vocal arrangement, because there's so many amazing backing vocals going on across a lot of the album, actually. The vocal arrangements as well as the instrumental arrangements are really, really, like, he's evidently a fantastic arranger.
Do we know how much of it he did himself?
That is a good question.
It would be interesting to see how much of a pioneer in these things he was, because if he's using techniques like that and he was 23, slightly hate him.
I'd say it's impressive enough already, just making that kind of recording at that age. But if he's also
to have that kind of creative ingenuity about him, absurd.
Yeah,
and I mean, Ray Charles was a massive inspiration to him, and you can see how he's taken that and just
very much so
run with it. And I think it's interesting as well, listening to this, how much of the DNA of this is infused in artists like Janelle Monáe. There's like one of the first things I thought of partway during this was the opening sort of medley that's at the start of the Arc Android, and there's a lot of Stevie Wonder color to that. I was really, really impressed.
You get kind of bits of it from Andre 3000's half of the Speaker Box album. A lot of the kind of the artists of that kind of style of music.
Yes.
That are regarded as being kind of greats. You listen to them and you
can see where they're
there's at least a little
influences.
Bit.
Yeah.
A little bit of the DNA of this work.
Yeah.
Bloody marvellous.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
Voice gave me chills.
Yes.
Throughout the whole thing. I mean, I think there were points that I kept pausing, you guys talking, wasn't I? Because I was like, hang on. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Let it ride.
And actually,
that's exactly it. Like, eyes rolling into the back of the head, kind of. Yes.
And there was a moment actually that the kind of the dramatised portion at the end of Living for the midpoint of Living in the City, isn't it?
Kind of a
Living
for the City. Point, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there was a point where we all just completely just
stopped
exactly what we were doing.
Yeah.
No, absolute winner.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Grand stuff. It's nice to pick something out at random from
that
a
we've
list.
All enjoyed.
Can't any of you think of a criticism? Because honestly, God, I'm struggling.
I've got one.
At least with Bob Dylan, we came up with a couple of criticisms for individual tracks, because that was the last time that we did one of these ones where we thought, you know, this is actually a really fucking good song. I can see why Lord of the Classic, but I'm genuinely struggling.
I have one ridiculous nitpick.
Okay.
And it is a tiny weird nitpick. There was a couple of moments where the mixing of the cymbals just was like, it just kind of felt at odds.
How did you pick that up from your first listen? I was too busy dancing.
There was just a couple of odd moments where things like, I think it was on Don't You Worry About a Thing, where the hi-hat felt a little bit too loud, and there's quite a showy bit with the hi-hat, and I was like, that just needs to be...
We haven't even said about what an interesting mix that was. Really salsified and...
It was a sudden...
Because it started, we were like, what's this? And then you read it out and we were like, okay, we know this, but not in this version.
Because that was another bit that kind of started out with some very experimenty, talky bits and things, and then it just suddenly turned into
wonderful salsa rhythm.
It was beautiful.
Joy.
Yeah.
Well, what you're saying there, Jen, is that kind of, and it's a petty nitpick, like you said.
Yeah.
That's the level of criticism that we've got.
We're having
this album.
Yeah.
That's how far you have to dig.
Wrong with it.
Like the opening track, there's a few bits. There's like a ride cymbal that's playing a very unusual rhythm. But again, because there's just something slightly about the way that it was mixed, where it felt a little bit too high. Instead of it sounding like an interesting rhythm, it kind of sounded a little bit like a Labrador being let loose with a drumstick.
But then again, how much of that
was
is recording, and also how much of it is just compression of Spotify?
Yeah, that's true.
Also
if
true.
If you listen to it on like an original 12-inch,
that might not be noticeable.
Okay.
But those are two really odd things that I just sort of noticed. But that's how far you have to reach to go.
I can't think of anything else that
for the actual songwriting, the lyricism, the vocals, the general construction of the song. I can't think of a damn thing to say against any track of that album.
The content.
It's not even like it was samey to any extent.
No,
it wasn't.
It's a very varied album. It's got lots of peaks and troughs. And
That was the one thing I thought might have been a worry, that maybe it would just be a really good kind of soul album. But it was nowhere even close to just that.
No, we didn't get to halfway through and then be like, well, this is the same as the rest of it, so we're probably just going to chat over it now.
Yeah.
Just kept grabbing you.
In other words, we were chatting a lot while we were listening to it, because we kept on hearing things and
going,
holy shit!
Yeah.
that was it, the second track that went to a bit of kind of folky kind of vibe?
Yes.
I mean, you've already mentioned the kind of salsa-y kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
And there's some obviously classic funk moments as
well. What do we say, squelchy?
Yeah. Hot, like,
super squelchy.
Oh, there's some good higher ground. Bits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was.
Higher ground was squelchy as hell.
Harry Garner is classic.
Yeah, and like I said, my favourite Stevie Wonder song is Superstition, because of just the whole push and pull of it, and just the way that the bottom string just sort of hangs over the rest of the riff.
Yeah, see, I wish I could add Superstition onto that album.
Yes,
it's talking.
That's
book,
my
isn't it,
that one criticism. That if that had been on there as well, belter.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like, I want to listen to that album, but with Superstition.
Yes. I see. Make your own mix.
We'll just put a Spotify playlist that is Inner Visions with Superstition at the end of it.
Yes.
And then,
absolutely.
Wow, that would have been a great closing track too.
Yeah.
Cool. But then again, Mr. Know-It-All. It brought it in on a slightly more down note.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, but as a closing track, I think I was a little bit like, it could have been funkier. I maybe would have liked it to end on more of a high note.
I think He's Mr. Know-It-All is kind of like the gentle airplane landing of the album.
Yes,
it was like a plane flight, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You had the lift off at the start and a gentle landing.
Hilariously, the first track is called Too High.
Nice.
But it kind of takes off, levels out, goes a bit nuts, bit of turbulence.
You get arrested in New York City.
Yeah.
Effectively for being black.
Yep.
That's just happened on an uncomfortable number of plane journeys.
It has happened, yes, yeah.
But yeah.
Smoking in the toilet compartment.
Excuse me?
You can't even reply. John is sitting there with a piece of pizza hanging out his mouth.
Face full of pizza.
So we loved it, that's the verdict.
Yes, very.
Yeah.
That's the important headline of that.
Yes.
Fucking great album.
Stevie Wonder, really good.
Good job, mate.
Well done.
Yeah. You should be proud of yourself.
It's a much better headline than being rampant with a pair of scissors in a hotel.
No clothes on.
See, now my brain's wants to imagine that is Stevie Wonder.
Please, no. I'm vetoing this before it even starts.
Good. So, yes, good. We need you on this more often. Just
I'll come
us.
Here every time
stop
just to stop things like
started.
That.
And on that bombshell...
Close us down, John.
I will close all of you down. You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Naked with scissors!
The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast is hosted by Audio Boom!